May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Do you please have a seat? No book in the Bible values friendship more than does the book of Proverbs, except perhaps the book of Ruth. It values friendship extremely highly. And we're going to look at what the book of Proverbs in the Bible says about friendship. But not thinking about friendship as a kind of abstract concept, but what does it say about how to be a good friend? How can I be a good friend to other people, to some other person? And of course, if I am a good friend to someone else, it's likely that they will be a good friend to me. So this is also going to be about the benefit of friendship. And there are many benefits of good friends. Some of them we'll see this morning. Somebody to help you in your need. Somebody to give you joy in your heart. To help you be the best version of yourself. To grow as a Christian. And many famous and clever people have supported the Bible's view that friendship is a very good thing. C.S. Lewis said, "If I had to give a piece of advice to a young person about a place to live, I think I should say, sacrifice almost everything to live where you can be near to your friends." Shakespeare, Richard II, "I count myself in nothing else so happy as in remembering my good friends." But probably today in the West, we undervalue friendship. There are far more songs, popular songs, about romantic love than about friendship. There's far more interest in who celebrities have got a romantic attachment to, who their romantic partner is, than who their friends are. There are self-help books about friendship, about friendship, about romance, but not many about friendship. And so therefore, I think it's especially important that we think in this current time we are about friendship and how to be a good friend, and we're going to look at that from Proverbs. Six things, some of them very brief, and hopefully you will find this helpful. So the first thing, how to be a good friend. Help at all times. There's a little outline in the order of service if you'd like to have a look at that. That's got all the headings and verses on it, if that helps you. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Now, obviously, that is saying a friend is there for you at all times. Some commentators, and I think this makes a lot of sense, this is the way I would understand this, say that the friend who loves at all times, what he's saying here, becomes like a brother for you in time of adversity. And in a culture when family commitment, kinship ties were stronger than they are today, this is saying a very great deal. This is saying this friend becomes for you like a family member who steps in for you and to help you in time, especially of adversity. This true friend steps in when you're ill, redundant, depressed, or whatever. This friend is not like the swallow, which flies to you in summer and departs in winter. Someone said, when you are up in life, your friends get to know who you are. When you are down in life, you get to know who your friends are. So resolve that there will be one or two people that you will drop everything to help in their moment of need. So that's the first thing. Second way to be a good friend, give deep counsel. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. And heartfelt is literally from the heart. And I think he's saying, this is counsel that is given, advice that is given from my inner core, from the deepest part of me. This is not superficial. This is not unthought through. This is coming from my center. This is coming from, if you like, a revelation of myself. Advice in the older translations is counsel, and I think that's a better word. Advice sounds like give advice about travel or where to eat or where to shop. Counsel is a deeper word, isn't it? It speaks of, well, we go to a counselor to address the deepest issues in our life. And this is saying that this person, this friend, will help you with wisdom for the deep things in your life. And that kind of counseling gives joy to the heart. That's the point of the first part of the proverb. Joy to the inner being of the person who's receiving the counsel. So I think this proverb is saying that part of the joy of friendship is that there can be deep conversation from the inner core of one person to the inner core of another. This is deep calling to deep. And what a joy there is in being able to do that, to be able to have those conversations, to be able to talk to somebody about the deepest things in our life and know that they are responding, not superficially, but from the deepest part of their life. I wonder if we had more friendships like those, we would need less professional counseling and therapy. Now, of course, professional counseling and therapy have their place, and they can do things that friends can't. But I wonder if sometimes, actually, all that many people need is a good friend. Some of you may remember the film Crocodile Dundee, 1986, and Paul Hogan played the part of Mick Dundee, who was a delightful Australian who lived in crocodile-infested remote bush. And to cut a long story short, he ends up in New York City. And he's at a drinks party. And he's talking to this man, and the man is talking about going to see his therapist. And Mick Dundee says, "Wow, what's a therapist?" And the other person says, "Well, it's somebody you go to and you talk to about your innermost feelings and problems." And Mick Dundee says something like, I can't remember the exact words, but it's something like, "Struth, mate, what are friends for?" I wonder if we had more friends like that, if we'd need less counseling and therapy. And one implication of this, I think, is that we should look to develop long-term friends. Commit to them over a period of years, because this kind of conversation doesn't happen quickly. Surely one of the greatest myths of our time is that we can have not quantity time, but quality time. I don't believe that. I do not believe you can have quality time without quantity time. To have these conversations, you need hours sitting with somebody. You need to walk with them for years, perhaps decades, to have that kind of conversation. Next, to be a good friend, say the hard things. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And these are vivid metaphors saying there are friendly wounds and wounding kisses. There is an enemy who will pretend to be affectionate, will pretend to like you, and will stab you in the back. There is a good friend who will sometimes say things which wound you and yet are good for you. A good friend is not just my echo. A good friend is sometimes my stinging nettle. Balancing that with speak sensitively, next point. Two proverbs there which don't explicitly mention friends, but they are good wisdom for friendship. One of them is saying, look, it's a mistake to sing songs to a heavy heart. It's a mistake to say at the wrong moment to a friend, oh, just cheer up. Oh, just praise the Lord. Oh, this is just God's discipline, it's good for you. It's a mistake to use humor in the wrong way, as the proverb says, to deceive your friend and say, I was only joking. There's insensitive humor. Now, we British people, we're rude to our friends and polite to our enemies, on the whole. But there is a humour that's inappropriate, that's insensitive, and that will undermine or even destroy friendship. So these are examples of being not sensitive to somebody else. Words that are not appropriate to their state of heart and mind. And so from that we can deduce that we should be sensitive to somebody else's mood and use appropriate words, appropriate to that other person's emotional state, to speak into that appropriately, not inappropriately. And then encourage spiritually. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now, Christians of an earlier age viewed friendship as one way in which we could grow as Christians. One of the most famous of these was a chap called Aelred. He was a 12th century British monk, ended up in a monastery in France, but he was from Britain. And he wrote a book called Spiritual Friendship. And he said there are various different kinds of friendship, and those are good, but he said the best type of friendship is spiritual friendship. He wrote, describing a spiritual friendship, this is what we would say to one another. Here we are, you and I, and I hope a third, Christ, is in our midst. He saw that the company we keep shapes the person we become, as those proverbs say. Walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with fools and become a fool. Walk with sharp iron and become sharp iron. Walk with a friend in Christ who has the mind of Christ. Become like Christ. How powerful it is when we have a Christian friend who does the things that we've just seen from Proverbs. Who gives deep counsel. Who is ready to say the hard things to us. But who says them sensitively, and all in the context of the wonderful gospel of grace. So may I suggest, even challenge, it may not be appropriate for all of us, but have you thought about having a spiritual friendship? Someone you meet with to share burdens with, to pray for one another. Ask one another, how's your Christian life going? What are you finding hardest as a Christian? What are you finding best as a Christian? And reminding one another of simple gospel truths, which we need to hear again and again and again. God is in control. Yes, Christ's blood covers even that sin. His Holy Spirit is in you. Yes, the Lord is near. He is coming soon. Let's be spiritual friends to one another. We can't leave all of this to the clergy. We've got, 150 people in this church come from time to time. We can't have those kind of friendships with everybody. Paul the Apostle says to the churches, teach, admonish one another. Finally, let Jesus Christ be a friend to you. Jesus said, John's Gospel, which we had reading today, I have called you friends. What a lovely description that is. I think it's almost one of my favorite descriptions, if you like, of what a Christian is. Somebody who's a friend of Jesus Christ, to whom Jesus Christ is a friend. And he's a friend to each person who trusts in him as their Savior and seeks to follow him as their Lord. He is the ultimate fulfillment of that proverb about the friend who sticks closer than a brother. I don't know if Solomon knew about him or was thinking of that when he wrote that, but that is certainly the ultimate fulfillment. Jesus Christ, the friend who sticks closer than a brother. He stuck close to us even entering into our fallen state. Because of our sin, we now taste what Job calls, what chilling words these are, aren't they? The land of utter darkness and disorder. And without the rescue of Jesus Christ, we would spend eternity in the land of utter darkness and disorder. And on the cross, Jesus went into that land. That's why it became dark. That's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he entered the land of utter darkness and disorder. And he did it so that we don't have to go there. So that through a simple act of faith and surrender, we can escape that place and come into a kingdom of light and order. If we join ourselves to him by faith, we will begin to taste that now, and we will enjoy it for all eternity. And in this land of light and order, we will find that Jesus is with us as our friend. Now, of course, this isn't exactly the same as a friendship with somebody on earth who we can see, but it's a real friendship nonetheless. It's a felt friendship. It's an experienced friendship. If we will use the channels and what we call the means of grace, the things that he has given us to nourish that friendship. Meeting together for public worship. Reading the scriptures. Speaking to God through Christ in prayer. Being baptized. Remembering our baptism. Receiving Holy Communion. Perhaps meeting with a smaller group of Christians midweek. Perhaps meeting with a spiritual friend. These are things he's given us to nourish the friendship, and if we use those, trusting in the grace of the gospel, we will experience the friendship of Jesus with us through thick and thin, through light and dark. We may not always feel it. There may be days of great darkness, but he will be with us as our friend. Now, that experience of the friendship of Jesus is really helpful for our friendships with other people. And indeed, any relationship of love or affection. Why? Well, one reason, not the only reason, but one reason is that it will help us not to be over-dependent on human friends. See, one of the dangers with friendship, especially if it's a very good friendship, is we become over-dependent on a person, and then we suck them dry, and we can break them. It's more than they can bear. And what we've got to remember is that in the Garden of Eden, God came to walk with Adam and Eve. And walking is there as a metaphor for friendship. And what that was saying is that the ultimate purpose of God in creating humanity is that he would be friends with them and that we would be friends with him. And that is what we are made for. We are made for a bigger relationship than any relationship on earth. Friendship, love, marriage, all of those are not big enough for us. We need friendship with God. That is what we are made for. And once we are friends with God in Jesus, we will not overload our human friendships with unrealistic expectations. You know how sometimes in the countryside you come to a little bridge across a little river and you see a sign that says max gross weight 10 tons, saying this bridge is not strong enough for that great articulated lorry. It's too heavy. And the bridge of human friendship is not strong enough for all of our needs as people, emotional needs, mental needs, help needs. It can't bear that. The only friendship that can bear that is friendship with God through Jesus Christ. And once we have that in place and are experiencing it, we become appropriately less reliant on our human friends, and those human friendships become much better as a result. So there we are. We thought a little bit about what Proverbs says about being a good friend. Let me finish by encouraging us to be a good friend. I'm sure many of us are already, and to encourage us in what we're already doing, just to remind us of how important this is. Some years ago, there was an advert for IKEA furniture, and the slogan was, "Do you live in a house or a home?" And it's a clever slogan, isn't it? Do you live in just a place of bricks and mortar? Or is it a place of warmth and security and so on? And of course, the IKEA answer is, you need the clip and sofa, the Billy bookcase, and the Updata cutlery tray, and then your house will become a home. But of course, that isn't true, is it? What Proverbs would say is the house becomes a home when it's a place of love, including the love of friendship, friendship love. I once stayed in a very, very large and very grand house. It cost millions to build. And it was very beautiful. It had a lovely grand staircase. It had walk-in wardrobes the size of a bedroom. It had a study for him, a study for her, several swimming pools and so on. But I noticed in the kitchen, the fridge had no food in it. And nobody ever ate together in that house. And it was very beautiful, but it was a house, not a home. Other end of the spectrum, when I lived in Essex, near where I lived, there was a little bungalow. Frankly, a very ugly little bungalow. There was no nice furniture inside, but it was a place of love, a place that nurtured and nourished friendships. And it was a place I loved to go. So let's be good friends. Let's be good friends to a few people. But above all, let's let that friendship be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who said to all who will come to him and receive him as their friend, the immense privilege of the Creator, the Redeemer, the Judge of all, who says to you, I've come to call you friends. Let's pray. Thank you, O God, our Father, for Jesus, the friend who laid down his life for us. And may we, each of us here, let him be our friend. And may we be a friend to some others, maybe two or three other people. May we be to them and they to us like iron that sharpens iron, encouraging us in our walk with Christ, helping us to continue faithfully and joyfully with and in him. And in his name we pray. Amen.
There is a friend who sticks closer